and you start digging by hand, and finally reach some water and get down there. And then finally, after days and days of heat exhaustion and just tired, very hard work, you reach water. You start hearing it before you reach it. And finally, one last stroke to the dirt and water comes burst. What a refreshing moment. What an accomplishment. In fact, the book of Numbers, I'm not going to take you there, but the book of Numbers tells us about people having songs about drilling wells. I can just imagine a group of workers just singing, "Spring up well, spring up well." That is actually the phrase that is used, and that was a song. And finally, we have a water bursting out of the dirt, and everybody just got soaked. But it was okay, you know, because it was a celebration. Water! But you wouldn't say that that water came freely. I mean, they didn't have to pay for it, but they had to work hard for it. Now follow me, because I'm going somewhere. If those workers lifted up their eyes and down in the valley, they saw that there was just all sorts of springs of water down there. That's not their property, so they couldn't get to it. But imagine that beyond in the valley, there was water just springing up. There was the neighbor's property, just fountains of water everywhere, streams of water, a beautiful green area because of water. And you step back and said, "Wait a second. We had to work very hard for this. But that water, it kind of just happened." See, there weren't any men digging over there. In fact, there has never been anybody over there ever. How does that happen? Well, in that beautiful valley down there, they didn't pierce a fountain. They didn't bore a channel. In fact, that water was there long before any weary pilgrim bowed down to drink from it. It was long before. Long before even there were people there. It was just happening. Spurgeon says it had leaped on its joyous way right freely. Will you remember that word?
We're going to use that word now. Freely.
Freely doesn't only mean at no cost. It means voluntarily. So if I give money to somebody and they didn't work, they didn't do anything for it, well, we could say that I did it freely. Or because I wanted to, see? And that's the concept of the word grace. Spurgeon says, "This water was leaping on its joyous way, right, freely. And it will do so as long as the moon endureth and the mountains. Freely, 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 freely." You hear that word? Freely. And then he says, "Such is the grace of God." Because that's what it is. Grace, whatever we receive out of grace, we receive freely. This is the definition of grace. Something that we didn't work for. Right? I mean, if you go and do chores for your father, your daddy, which you should. How many of you do chores with a happy attitude? Oh, whoa. So some hesitation there. No, many of you do chores, and sometimes you get paid for it, right? But what if you get paid for, or what if you get paid and didn't do anything? Well, that would be grace, okay? Like receiving a gift. something that, listen to this, you don't deserve. Something that you didn't work for. Okay? For example, think about the sun, right? The sun. We could say that the sun shines freely. It scatters its beams. It gives life. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there wouldn't be any plants without the sun. We need water, and we need the sun to make things grow. And these are precious, like gold. And the sun scatters them like dust, and he sows the earth, and bejewels the earth with emerald and ruby and sapphire, and it does it most freely. But listen to this. The sun doesn't say, I'm going to shine here, and I'm going to shine here, because these people are good. The sun doesn't shine discriminately just in some places where the sun bill has been paid. How many of you pay sunlight? You know, none of us. We don't pay for, we pay for power, electricity, but we don't pay for sun, right? We just kind of get it. Something else that the sun doesn't do. The sun doesn't shine over good people and not over bad people. See that? It shines over both of them. And that is what grace is. Even evil people experience the heat, the benefits, the light of the sun. And this is called grace, something that they don't deserve. How about this? Let me put it another way. How about rain? Have you ever been in a storm where there is just pouring? We had a few days like that, didn't we? And when you walk outside your house, you saw pouring, right? But this is the thing, guys. Everywhere you could see was raining, right? It wasn't just on you. It was on everybody. It was raining over good people and over bad people. It was raining over high places and low places. It was raining over big houses and small houses, over poor, over rich. But more importantly, over good and bad. And that is the concept of grace. Just God giving good things to everyone who don't deserve it. In fact, the definition that I'm going to be working with today says that the grace of God means, find it now, means that God gives good things to those who only deserve punishment. Let me say that again. The grace of God means that God gives or bestows good things over people that only deserve punishment. And that's us, right? I mean, we deserve punishment. We deserved hell. We deserved no good thing. That's what we deserved if we understand sin correctly. And yet, God gives us good things. But all those good things only could come out of grace, and not because we deserved them or because we worked for them. Think about this. Let me put it this way. God knows that the sinner will say evil things. And God knows that the sinner, when the sinner is going to curse God. And God knows when his mouth is going to utter horrible things against God. And yet, God gives that evil person air in his lungs for that very breath. In other words, he doesn't take him out. He doesn't cut his breathing and dies. That is grace. A God that is willing for a certain time to give good things to those who only deserve punishment. Spurgeon again says, "It is not our seeking or our prayers or our tears which incline the Lord to love us. God loves us at first most freely without any entreaties or pleas." Why is God good to bad people? Well, this is not because we did something good, because we're great and because we're lovely, but because of the necessity, this is going to be a little tougher to understand for some, but because of the necessity of His nature. In other words, God is a gracious God. We're talking about an attribute of God, something that is part of who He is. That could only be displayed through His response to sin. In other words, there not be any sin, there would have been that attribute, the grace of God would have been concealed for eternity. Let's read here our text in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. And I'm going to wait for you to get there because this is important. This is a very important text in the Scripture. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. I think that at some point this should be one of our memory verses. It says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." And listen to the next phrase, "By grace ye are saved." Verse 6, "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." What a beautiful account of all the benefits that we receive from God because of grace. Verse 7 says, "That in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of," there's the word again, "His grace." Grace, grace, all over this passage. "In His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." Now, if you see that, it always qualifies this grace in some way or another and pins it back to our Lord Jesus Christ, who through Him we can receive that grace. Verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Boys and girls, the only way you can be saved is because of God's grace. You don't deserve that salvation. Sometimes we say, we have good kids here. But the truth of the matter is that each kid has a sinful nature. It's a sinner. It's a sinner. And the only way that sinner can come and be before God is by grace, through faith. It's a gift of God. In fact, it says that very thing. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Boys and girls, salvation is a gift from God. No possible way that you can earn it. There is no buying heaven. You cannot do works to get there. It is grace, 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 grace. A gift of God. Then verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's a text to kind of get it settled in our minds. This is God's attribute. And since 2 Chronicles 39, you don't have to turn. But it says, for the Lord your God is. The Lord your God is gracious and merciful. God is gracious. This is just part of who He is. Giving and giving and giving and giving and giving and giving to those who don't deserve it. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. In other words, the Apostle Paul says, you know, the only reason I'm here preaching and doing things for God is because of His grace. I would be in a completely different place if it wasn't for God's grace. For His willingness to do good things to me, a sinner. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. So let's define it here. We already kind of touched on it. But basically, it is God's favor to those that deserve only punishment. The word most commonly used for this is the word... Ready? I'm going to show you all the Greek that I don't know. But it looks like this, guys. That's supposed to be an X. That looks like a P, but it's actually called rho, I think. And something like that. That's the sigma of the Greek alphabet. So this is actually pronounced Hades or something like that. I don't speak that very good at all. So anyway, that's the word, that's kind of what it looks like. The word Hades. And that's where we get our word charismatic. Okay? So really when people are talking about a charismatic person, they're talking about a person that is full of grace, or at least that's the original meaning. Now it means all sorts of things, right? But somebody that is charismatic is a person that is full of grace. This is something that we all should strive for. Somebody that is graceful. And we're going to see what that means when we get to this place. But let me give you a couple other verses that are very, very important on this topic. Romans 5:8 says, but God... Let's turn there. How about that? Unless you know it, you can just quote it. But Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, this is a love that didn't come because we were nice or lovely or beautiful or particularly desirable to save. No, no, no. While we were yet sinners, this was our worst condition that we could possibly be. And the filth and deformity that sin brought about. And it was in this very condition when God decided to show His love. Think about that. God loved you in your lowest point. And again, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 24, being justified freely. Do you remember that word? Freely. Freely, freely. Yes, it means at no cost, but it also means willingly. This is a God that, get this, wanted to save you. Now, I can't stress about the importance of this word, grace. See, we, for example, if we go walking the street and there's a beggar on the side of the road, And then he starts telling us, I want, hey you, give me some money. Right? That maybe he needs it, maybe he's going to do something bad with it. We don't know. But let's say he starts yelling, hey, give me something. And then we decide to do it and give him a few coins. Now listen, sometimes we could be doing it just to make him be quiet, right? Just stop it. We don't say that because that would sound mean, but here we go. Just leave me alone. That doesn't happen very often around here, but in Latin American countries, that is a very real thing, and it can be actually dangerous to not give them their... Anyway. But that could be a thing. Another reason I could be compelled to give to the poor would be to be reputable, to look good in front of others, right? A lot of people like that feeling of giving to the poor just so that others would think good of them. Oh, he gave. He's so good, right? So even in our best moments, when we think that we give out of grace, there's ulterior motives, right? Or there could be. But a man gives freely. And again, Spurgeon says, he finds it more blessed to give than to receive when he gives freely. But God is the only one who truly and freely can do this. His love is unbought, free, without having any merit or deserving it. In fact, there's a few verses in the Bible. Just listen to this. Come, buy wine and milk. You probably heard those. But after that, after saying, come and buy wine and milk, it says, without money, without price. This is the meaning of freely. This is the meaning of grace. In other words, I will not accept their works in trade for my love. I will not receive their love as a recompense for mine. I will love them, all unworthy, sinful though they be. So there's a few verses that I'll give you real quick here on a biblical basis. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness. Here's the concept again of freely, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy. These words mercy and grace are really closely related. But let me give you a little differentiation there. Mercy is to not get something we deserve. And grace is getting something we don't deserve. I think that's a very helpful definition. Either way, when we came to Christ, we received both. We didn't receive things that we deserve, namely hell, and we received by grace things that we did not deserve. A couple things about grace. It was always freely given. Listen to Exodus 33. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Again, there's a concept of God just freely doing good things for people who don't deserve it. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious. Secondly, it wasn't an afterthought. In other words, God's grace didn't happen when we sin. But it was a plan, the plan all along. Listen to 2 Timothy 1. who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose, and there's a word again, grace, which was given us, listen to this, in Christ Jesus before the world began. So in other words, this grace that we receive was given to us, yes, in Christ Jesus, and He came during time, came to time, but this grace was the plan of God before time even started. How beautiful. Another thing, a third thing about, there's only four, grace couldn't come any other way except through Christ Jesus. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, the only way we can receive this grace is through Jesus Christ. The prerequisite of grace is humility. God resists the proud, but let's see in James 4:6. But giveth grace to the humble, I think it says. But giveth grace unto the humble. The grace of God, maybe you haven't thought about it this way, but the grace of God is a teacher. We can learn from it. The grace of God is a teacher. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men. Listen to the next word, teaching. So what does the grace of God teach us? What is this freely given aspect of God teach us? It teaches us to live godly lives. Listen to those words. Denying ungodliness, this is what it teaches us, and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, there's a lot to say about grace. But I'll give you one more thing about it, and then we'll move on. The Bible says that the grace of God, a very important thing about the grace of God, is that it is the thrust of our lives. It's the push that enables us to do what we need to do. Now, this is an important concept. How is it that God, doing things out of pure love and undeserved grace, how does that move me, enable me to do things for Him? I'll read you a few verses. Just listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, will abound in every good work. And God saith unto me, says Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. In other words, the grace of God is sufficient. Sufficient against sin. Sufficient against temptation. It's just all. Well, that ought to tell us something about the importance of this. But let me give you a couple things. God wants of every Christian to be Christians that are full of grace. See, God is the fountain of this grace. But He wants us to be also full of grace. Let me give you a verse here from Jesus, the Son of God. The Word became flesh the Word became flesh. Let's see. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You can tell I don't know my memory verse yet. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. So Jesus was full of grace. But you know who else was full of grace? Let me show you here. Look in Acts. The word grace is not used. But I'll give you a very interesting detail. In the darkest moment of the deacon Stephen, who served God, who was called by God, who loved God, and this saint, they call him the first martyr of the church. He's about to be put to death by evil people, which didn't want to hear the preaching. It says in verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So everybody was coming to Christ, basically. The whole town, the disciples were increasing. It was a great ministry that Stephen was having in this time. And listen what it says about Stephen. Stephen, full of faith and power. Oh, I'm sure that he was full of faith and power and a lot of other things. But I wanted to tell you, the word there used for faith, it happens to be the word haris. Haris. The same word that tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and of truth. So in other words, a discritical, life-turning, and turning the world upside down moment of the life of Stephen, he was just oozing grace. He was just full to the brim with God's grace. He was just exuding grace. And his face shone. He was there. People were closing in on him. They were ready to stone him to death. Now, Pastor was pointing out that stoning is probably not the way we picture it. It wasn't like somebody went out there and kind of get a good aim and throw stones at him being able to dodge them. But it was more of a close circle where people would get not little stones that like David's fast stone, but big rocks, probably this size, with very pointed strokes to the head and to the body. It was a really inhumane way to die. And yet, this man of God, Stephen, was so full of the power and grace of God, easily recognizable, doing miracles all over the place. How can you be that? Christian and grace. What does it mean to be full of grace? How can you strive to be full of this grace of God? Well, let me tell you what it means. I thought deeply about this. But one of the things it means two of them, at least. But he was supernaturally capable. A Christian that is full of grace is supernaturally capable. Somebody that clearly has a power that is beyond himself. I've met people like that. You can't really pinpoint where their strength comes from. Because it's not really natural. It's weird. How can they do so much? How are they so capable? Maybe they didn't get all the education in the world. Maybe they didn't get all have all the smarts or all the strength, the physical strength. They're feeble and weak, and yet they're supernaturally strong. Well, thus was Stephen. He was packed with grace. His mental, his physical strength does not find an explanation in himself. Where is this grace coming from? There is no way, you say, this man could accomplish all that. A saint of the past said, I have so much to do today. I could never accomplish everything that I have to do unless I pray 3 hours at least. All these saints of the past knew that their strength could not come out of their physical ability, their smarts. It had to come from the grace of God. It had to be a gift, in other words. And the second thing about grace, or a Christian that is full of grace, is that this Christian is supernaturally pleasant. Have you heard? Oh, he's a gracious person. Right? Somebody that is supernaturally just, you can glean spirituality just by being around them. Their words are seasoned. Their demeanor is seasoned. Their very existence is supernaturally pleasant, a gracious person. A person that is full of grace. I can imagine Stephen, he was doing all these things, all these miracles, and accomplishing all this for God because he was so full of grace. But at the same time, the most pleasant person to be about. Full of grace. I think Lord Jesus Christ was like that. Listen to that. To the sound of those words. We saw His glory. The Son of God full of grace and truth. Oh yes, he was saying some heart-wrenching things. Some of his sayings were piercing. And yet he did it with such a tender compassion. Yes, he was full of truth, the Son of God was. But he was also full of grace. Just molding, if you will, the hardest heart. His very words are seasoned. He's supernaturally pleasant. Even the words of rebuke, I'm sure Stephen gave many of those. You sinners, repent! That's what preaching is. And many were converted. Many were turned over to the faith, it says. Yet his words were full of charge with faith. Supernaturally pleasant, supernaturally attractive. The word supernaturally should explain it, but let me just clarify it again that they didn't come from his eloquence, his accomplishments. Even words of rebuke, this is not his eloquence or his much education. In fact, there is no explanation for his gracious speech. Where did he get this? Wasn't that what it was said about many of the apostles? Where are they getting all this? Words. Where are they getting all this wisdom? Oh, they speak with such grace. Well, a person, let me just bring this to application and say that a person understands first the grace of God that is freely given. That's what needs to happen first. But he can only be full of grace. Full of grace. Is so fed with the Word of God. So in tune with His Spirit. That He's just supernaturally capable. He accomplishes so much. And is supernaturally pleasant. Look. There's many people that maybe they didn't get the best personality at birth. They're not very naturally friendly or naturally likable, right? Some of us were born with angry faces. I came out like this. Sorry, I'm not mad. But anyway, but this grace that we're talking about can be attained by anyone. Even those of us that are not usually just pleasant to be around. You see. And now why is this grace important to have? Well, it's what we're commanded to do. What we're commanded to do. Be gracious. Let your speech be always with grace, I think it says. Well, the grace of God we're talking about. I just wanted to make that comment because we can also be full of grace. I find that really neat. That each one of us could be filled with this graciousness of God Himself. However, here's one more thing. The grace of God, unfortunately, sometimes can be in vain. You see that? For some people, the grace of God brings great dividends. In other words, it redounds to the glory of God, and God gives us grace, and people just run with it, right? They're supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit, so they go out and do things for God. Or they're supernaturally pleasant to be around, and they use that for God's glory. They use that for edification of others. Hey, I will listen to a nice person, no matter what he tells me, right? And I've had people like that. They just come to me and say, "Brother Alex, you're a wretched, bad guy." But there's something about the way they say it, right? But you're like, "Man, I can't be mad at that guy." And he's right. And somehow, after that incident, I don't feel depressed. I don't feel like offended even. I can't be offended. I mean, look at it. Hate him. But I love him. Well, that's one of the characteristics of grace. And that's one of the characters that we all should develop. Appreciate Pastor Bond, who can tell you just about anything, right? He'll be fine with it. Well, because of any of the... Well, his words are seasoned and with salt. They're just gracious. Just they reflect not a... that you are a pain, you know? That, you're a bother. But they reflect a true concern for you. Well, if I could just be that. Even if I get stoned to death with Stephen, if I could just be grace. Full of grace. Oh, even better. To be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who was put to death by sinners, yet He was full. Full of grace. Like I was saying, there is sometimes that grace can be in vain for us. How may that not be? You know, God lets us breathe, see, experience, hold a baby. He does that for everybody. Smell a flower, have a wife, have children. Awesome life. Yet, this grace is in vain for many people who reject God, who say, "We'll have nothing to do of you, yet we want all the nice things that you do for us." You know, every time God doesn't strike us dead when we sin, it's a sign of grace. is that in vain for us? Every time you hear the word of God preached, is the grace of God, is that in vain? Sometimes I have to admit, sometimes it is in vain for me because I wasn't paying attention. And the preacher is, all I could see is this. All I got through the whole sermon, because I'm thinking about other things. Hey, preaching is a grace. I'm so thankful for the preaching that I hear here. It's just wonderful. May it never, not a single sermon be in vain. It's a grace of God. Amen? Okay. Every time we wake up in the morning is God's grace. Every time you open your eyes and go on with your day, it's the grace of God. If we get out of bed, if you stay in bed, that's wasting the grace of God of the day that He has given you. And that was kind of the point of the Apostle Paul when he said, the grace of God was not in vain for me because what? Do you remember? I've what? Labored. You know, one of the ways that you can really use, take advantage of the grace of God, of this new day that the Lord has made, we say that. What are you going to do with your day? You know, there's some men here that I really admire that are busy like bees. Like you, I don't think we could look at a portion of their day and think that it was wasted. How about you? How about you? I don't want to look at anybody. How about me? Well, laziness is a grotesque waste of grace. Grotesque. Love, time, forgiveness, health, strength, sight, smell, the ear, all of grace. Are these graces in vain with you? The grace of God, I am who I am, this grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Can you say that? Can I say that? No. I'm glad that God saved me. I will never, if God allows me, never take it for granted. And I commit, by the grace of God, His grace will not be in vain in my life. There's a new year here. 2021. 12 months of grace of life. Is it going to be in vain? Oh, man, I'm convicted. This is a hard preaching for me. 2021 has to be taken seriously in the work of God. May it never be that the grace of God will be in any measure in vain for us. His Lord answered unto him, the wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not drawn. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. You should have put my money in the bank. Then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore, are the next words, the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That's a good question, I guess, to finish this thought. What graces bestowed in our lives would really be more fair to give to somebody else? You know, the way I formulated that is by thinking about many missionaries in the field who toil every day with so little resources. And then I started comparing all the things that I have gotten, that I receive, all the graces, and wonder if any of them would be fair that they were in somebody else's hands. Isn't that something? The grace was that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. What graces are you not taking advantage of, wasting today? The grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God. Oh, but I don't want to make you feel too bad. So I'll say one more thing. You know, let's talk about a little bit about sin. All those things that break the law of God, the commandments that we see clearly put in the scriptures. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We break one of them. You know, sometimes that guilt can drive us away from coming to Him. We're sometimes so ashamed that think, I'm just going to go hide somewhere. Along with my sin, too bad. I'm going to tuck myself away for a while and hope that it, for one thing, nobody will notice. On the other side, that it will go away on its own. Maybe I will get better if I just don't talk about it. So what is this guilt? What do we do with it? Well, you know, God in the scripture called His supreme throne, where He sits to judge the world. He tells the Christian that in it's not only a place where He sits now, but this throne is now for you, the throne of grace. Isn't that something? Not just where He sits now, for you and I, is a place that we can come for grace. The throne of grace. Don't you like that title better? You know, they, many times when you were approached to a throne, the decision was death. The scepter was withdrawn and the sentence was pronounced. You know that there's really no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus? You know that God meant that when He said that? You know that He says today, Son, have you sinned? You know, the throne of God is now for you, the throne of grace. Just come. Come. We'll talk about it. I'll wash away your sins. I'll cleanse you again. Are you really burdened for your sin? Well, that's what it takes. But now come. Don't stay there. Yes, He can make you whole again. This is a beautiful title, the throne of grace. Let us now, therefore, come boldly. There's another great word, boldly. You don't come boldly to a king's throne unless it's the throne of grace. Then you can come boldly. That we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace. It's a beautiful word, guys. Hey, I'm a little saddened to say that this was the last session on the attributes of God that I'm working on. But at the same time, what a beautiful note to end with, right? Like the great finale of the attributes of God. I wouldn't have wanted to end in any other note. But to say that what a gracious God we have. You know, we all, every good thing comes from above. From the Father of lights. In Him there is no variation, no shadow of turning. All good things come from Him and all come from grace. And all because of God. Do I have time to say something else? I don't. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your great mercy and love. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate forth fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. What a marvelous grace. Where would we be if it weren't for the love bestowed freely at no cost of God? Thank You. In Jesus' precious name, amen.